Dear Cheap Astronomy, Just How Dangerous Are Cosmic Rays? Part 2. In the previous episode, we covered the dangers of particle radiation in space travel. To recap, sure, electromagnetic radiation can kill you, but if you're outside of Mercury's orbit, it's unlikely the Sun's electromagnetic radiation will kill you, as long as you have adequate radiators to lose any heat that you gain. Also, a modicum of shielding should be more than adequate to reflect any shortwave radiation, remembering that Earth's flimsy ozone layer is entirely adequate to shield our whole planet from wavelengths shorter than ultraviolet. The real danger is particle radiation. A subatomic particle like a proton that's been accelerated up to close to the speed of light is not going to bounce off your hull. It will hit and essentially explode, fragmenting itself and whatever it hits into subatomic shrapnel that continues forward to collide with the next layer of material, and so on until some of that secondary radiation eventually reaches the crew. All this happens at the subatomic level, so the astronauts would be oblivious to it in the absence of radiation detectors. They might die from cancer years later, but could experience more immediate problems if that radiation wipes out their bone marrow, leading to anemia and immunosuppression after a few days. They would likely recover from that, but having the whole crew incapacitated for days or weeks while they're flying a spacecraft is not a good scenario. In the context of space, we call particle radiation cosmic rays. Within the solar system, most cosmic rays are produced from the Sun. The Sun has a constant output of particle radiation called the solar wind, but there are also occasional accelerated outbursts of particles called solar particle events, as well as much larger scale coronal mass ejections. All of our Apollo lunar astronauts flew outside the Earth's magnetosphere for several days with no ill effects. But had one of their flights coincided with a large coronal mass ejection moving in their direction, NASA might have aborted a landing or otherwise shortened the mission with the aim of getting the astronauts home quickly, since such radiation exposure wouldn't kill them outright, but might have brought on incapacitating radiation sickness within a matter of days. Of course, on a mission to Mars, there are no such mission abort options. So, prevention through shielding is a necessity. Apparently, the best shielding against cosmic rays, which are predominantly high-energy protons, is a material rich in hydrogen, which is essentially protons. So water is good shielding, as are hydrocarbons, such as plastics, and also, human waste. So we could route the plumbing through one part of the hull and store the in another part of the hull. However, current thinking for lunar missions is much simpler. Once a coronal mass ejection is known to be approaching, the crew will grab loose storage bags and other containers and build a makeshift igloo around themselves for temporary protection until that burst of particle radiation has passed. However, there are also more deadly cosmic rays out there. Galactic cosmic rays come from outside the solar system and with enough kinetic energy to punch straight through the heliopause against the outward push of the solar wind. There are also even more powerful extragalactic cosmic rays that first punch through the galaxy's interstellar wind and then the Sun's heliopause as well. The greater danger that these cosmic rays pose now has us planning to fly humans to Mars during a solar maxima. That is, we'd rather deal with the worst particle radiation the Sun can offer in the hope that that extra outward push of solar wind during a solar maxima might take some of the energy out of the incoming galactic and extragalactic cosmic ray particles. As to the origin of these astonishingly high-energy cosmic rays and how we might hope to protect astronauts from them, wear some water, poo, and a few storage bags just won't cut it will all be a matter for part 3.